Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Doing good.
We are really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. This article that was published in the journal Family Practice, the first author, I don't know where this guy got his degree. I'm only kidding. This is your article, and I think it's an important contribution. We're coming up on flu season. Seasonal flu is an acute respiratory illness and can be caused by either A or B viruses. And although it's acutely disabling, influenza for most people is a self-limited infection. We have two classes of drugs that are available for the treatment and prevention of influenza. The class called the neuraminidase inhibitors include a drug called oseltamivir, which is active against both influenza A and B. And then the older class of drugs called amantadines, which include amantadine and ramantadine, are only effective against influenza A and due to a marked increase in resistant isolates. Advisory committees are now recommending that the amantadines not be used in the United States for the treatment of typical influenza, except in very specific cases. When the neuraminidase inhibitors are used and they're used promptly, the manufacturers suggest that the therapy can shorten the duration of symptoms by a wee bit, and you're going to talk more about that in a second. There's been sort of an ongoing battle with the manufacturer of oseltamivir trying to get the data from the original studies rather than just their conclusions, and it's been going on, and really for 3 years, they've been refusing to release the data. They finally released it. Huge pieces of it were redacted. The researchers, I think they're British, have gone back and asked the European Union to ask for the release of all of this data, and who knows what we'll find when we actually see the studies and how they were done. Your study was published in Family Practice this year, volume 30. It starts on page 125. It asks the question, is oseltamivir effective in reducing the duration of influenza symptoms or in preventing complications? So we're going to give these people this drug. It's going to cost them or society something. Does it really work? And I think your study was really a meta-analysis. What did you find?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of issues with Tamiflu use. And you know, obviously, one of them is cost. Another is somebody has found in another study that a significant percentage, I think it was a majority of people given Tamiflu, were symptomatic for more than 48 hours. The FDA says you can give it, it's effective if given within 48 hours, but we found that that's probably not completely true. And I think, and we've spent billions or at least hundreds of millions in this country stockpiling the drug for, in case of a pandemic, and because with the thought that, boy, for those people who are more vulnerable or elderly, it's going to be particularly helpful. And so, yeah, what we did, the Roche, who's a manufacturer, had released what are called the clinical trial reports. So every time they do a randomized trial, they have this 200-page, double-spaced, courier font report that gets submitted to the FDA, and that's what the FDA uses. The FDA doesn't look at the JAMA article. They look at these clinical trial reports. So those reports were made available on a one-time, you could log in one time, get an ID. I prayed my connection would hold, and I downloaded all of these clinical trial reports. So it turns out that there were 3 published studies of Tamiflu and 8 unpublished studies. A couple of them were small, probably shouldn't have been published because they just were failed trials. They didn't recruit many people. But, you know, a number of them were good, well-designed trials, including pretty large studies, which have never been published, comparing 0 to 24 hours with 24 to 36 hours of treatment, 1,500 patients in that one, 740 patients who are over age 65, and 400 patients who had cardiopulmonary comorbidities. You know, these have never been published. All the published studies just had healthy adults. So I thought it was really, it really made me angry that these people, over 4,000 people, would sign up for these studies with what was then an experimental drug and say, yes, I'll be part of this clinical trial. I'm not getting paid, but I'm doing this for good of humanity to find a better way to treat the flu. They never published the results. I think that is just a huge ethical lapse. You know, that's terrible. These people volunteered to be part of a clinical trial not to make Roche richer. They did it because they thought it would benefit other patients. And so, you know, that was, when I stopped there, I think that is a big message from this meta-analysis. So what were these studies like? So there were 4,200 patients in 11 studies. They were very well-designed studies. You know, they all had really good JADAD scores, which is one of the ways we look at them. They're well-designed. What they did was, what we found was that if you could look at the data two ways. One is the way that you and I would look at it in our offices. So we have patients coming in. We think they probably have the flu. About half to two-thirds of the time, we're right. And we give them the drug if they're there within 24, 36 hours, okay? So that's the intention to treat population. And that reflects what happens in real practice. I don't have a PCR result in 10 minutes to tell me for sure they have the flu. Mm-hmm. But they also did analyze the data, looking at only those who several days later, a PCR came back and said, yep, they actually really positively had the flu. What did they find? You know, essentially, when they looked at the intention to treat group, which is, you know, reflects what we would do in practice, the people who probably had the flu, about two-thirds did, there was about a 20-hour reduction in symptoms if they were treated within 36 hours. And by the way, they never studied. I don't know where the FDA got 48 hours, but they never studied anybody between 36 and 48 hours. What they found when they looked at 0 to 24 versus 24 to 36 in this big unpublished study, they actually found only a 12-hour reduction in symptoms between 24 and 36 hours. So if you were beyond that 24-hour window, at best 12 hours. And I bet if you're in the 36 to 48, even less. Having said that, if you're in the 0 to 12 range, it's probably a day and a half. It's probably closer to 36 hours. So it really, really matters how quickly you can start this medication in terms of symptomatic benefit. We also looked at complications, okay? What about hospitalization rates? Identical between the groups. A little over 1% for the 2,000 who got Tamiflu, a little over 1% for the 2,000 that didn't. In the elderly, they actually only had a 7-hour symptomatic benefit. So they only had 7 hours fewer symptoms if they got Tamiflu. And the cardiopulmonary comorbid group, they had 1 hour fewer symptoms. So it's no real surprise those weren't published, any of those studies. That's why, because they didn't want people to know that there was, you know, no symptomatic benefit in the elderly or the cardiopulmonary based on their data. And they didn't want people to know that there was very little benefit beyond 24 hours. The only benefit we saw was if you limited it to those who later on had a positive PCR for flu, you found that there was about a 0.9% reduction in the risk of pneumonia, and that was a number needed to treat of about 110. If you looked at the population that we would see in our office where they had probable pneumonia, we didn't see that benefit. And some of the other, just my final comment, because I know I've been going on a long time about this, but I'm passionate about this. The other thing was other studies funded by Roche have had access to these clinical trial data before anyone else could get them. And they said, oh, well, gosh, you know, we had a big reduction, a 5% reduction in complications that required an antibiotic. But they defined bronchitis as a complication requiring an antibiotic. You know, that's BS. Acute bronchitis does not require an antibiotic, as we've discussed before. You take that away and say, well, that's not really an antibiotic requiring complication. There was no difference in complication rates. That's why they don't want to make the individual patient-level data available to researchers. Tom Jefferson is the researcher in England who's been pursuing this. Ben Goldacre, others have been pursuing this. It's unfortunate. Bottom line message is Tamiflu does a lot less than we think it does. If you get it within 24 hours, there's a modest symptomatic benefit. But beyond 36 hours, there's absolutely none. And the benefit in terms of complications and so forth is questionable. You know, an economist would say feeling better a day faster is worth a couple $100. And if the drug costs $100 to society, that might well be worth it, getting them back to work a day quicker. You know, an economist might say that's a reasonable trade-off. We get lots of people coming in 36, 48, 72 hours later. I hear this all the time from friends and patients and colleagues that they have been given Tamiflu and ask, well, how long were you sick? Oh, 5 or 6 days. Mm-hmm. But it's just a reflex but for a lot of docs. And we've really got to get away from that. And this is further evidence that, you know, even if you understand the biology of how Tamiflu works, you know, after a couple of days, the horse is out of the barn. All those viral particles have left the respiratory epithelium. It's too late. You know, you can bathe in Tamiflu. It won't do a thing for you after 48 hours.
It's interesting both from a medical perspective, but also from a political and economic perspective. Boy, for $100 per patient, I could think of a whole lot better things that we could do that are going to have much better.
Well, yeah, and I think the other argument is, well, okay, that will make you feel better a day faster. Probably so will a leave and chicken soup and a little rest. That'll help with the myalgias. You know, give them a good cough suppressant. That'll help with, give them some Aleve. I think the incremental benefit of the Tamiflu is probably pretty minimal.
Very interesting discussion, Mark. Thanks for taking us through that. And again, we'll talk with you in 1 week.
Sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.